All right, let's continue our teaching, the season of fruitfulness. I'm speaking again on the things that we are to do as believers in Christ Jesus outwardly to connect with the blessing that God has given us in the realm of the Spirit. Last time, of course, the last series we did, so as to get into this, that is where we began this from, was inspired by Isaac, all right? And one of the major texts we read then was one, I think we read it last time, though we didn't discuss it in details. It's from the book of Genesis chapter 26. Let's commence from that again today. The book of Genesis chapter 26. Now let's read this again from verse 1. Again, because we have read it many times, I will jump here and there to get into the thing. So as to save time, and then just read the main ones that is important for what I want to discuss. It said in verse 1, "Now there was a famine in the land besides the previous famine that had occurred in the days of Abraham. So Isaac went to Gerar, to Abimelech, king of the Philistines. The Lord appeared to him and said, 'Do not go down to Egypt. Stay in the land of which I shall tell you.' He said in verse 3, 'Sojourn in this land, and I will be with you and bless you. For to you and to your descendants I will give all these lands, and I will establish the oath which I swore to your father Abraham. And what was that? I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven, and give your descendants all these lands. And by your descendants all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because Abraham obeyed me and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws.'" So the Bible says in verse 6, Isaac lived in Gerar. And if you jump to verse 12, "Now Isaac, living in Gerar, sowed in that land and reaped in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him, and the man became rich and continued to grow richer until he became very wealthy. For he had possessions of flocks and herds and a great household, so that the Philistines envied him." Let's stop reading here. Now, we've been reading this again and again. Last time, I emphasized the fact that everybody has his own land. Don't forget that. Let me just remind us of it again. Everybody has his own land that God promised him. And we said that land is in two perspectives. We can look at it from two angles. There is a physical land. There's a physical place you belong. There are places you don't belong. We discussed it last time. I won't go over it again. And then there is a... I've not found a proper word to use. I always stammer when I get to that point. There is a... No, not spiritual, no. Yes, I use the word proper. I'm looking for a better word. Okay, yes, I found a better word. There is an economic land that's your own. That's also good, all right? Yes, that's good. There is an economic land that's your own. It is not every profession that requires your participation. Be very careful as a Christian that what moves you is the fact that something is supposedly making money at the current time. That is not supposed to be the motivation for a believer. This one is making money. You have jumped in there. One of the things you must learn in life is how to use spiritual and keen eyes to look at the things that you are going to get involved in. It's making money does not make it your own to participate in. There are things, at least God has taught me over the years, there are things you will do, it just doesn't concern me. All right? Not because they are bad. You know, if you know, there's a book I talk about all the time, and I hope you have read it. If you haven't read it, I don't know why you haven't read it. That's The Happiest People on Earth. All right? I recommend that book a lot of times. That's Demos Shakarian's Happiest People on Earth. There's a story in that book which will just let us, it will help us to emphasize it again. Demos Shakarian was into, you know, business. He was a farmer, a dairy farmer, you know, used to use a lot of produce. Then once he found out that he could do speculative business and make a lot of money, so he began to gather a lot of, he ordered a lot of grain, all right, believing that after a particular time, the price will go up and you begin to sell and make money. After that point, the price didn't go up, it began to fall. And it was falling precipitously. On a daily basis, in today's currency, he was losing maybe $200,000 in today's currency on a daily basis. That's how much he was bleeding. Do you understand? And then when God pulled him out because he prayed about it again, like I said, that is the advantage of the Christian. He went and prayed about it, and the Lord said to him simply, through his own method, that this is not the kind of business I want you involved in. You have no, you as a person, we're not talking about whether it's right or wrong, But you as a person have no business doing speculative business. That it needs somebody that will give it full-time attention. You don't have that, and therefore this business will not prosper in your hands. But God delivered him. God raised somebody up to buy him out of that business and limit the amount of losses, all right, that he had incurred. Are you getting my point? It is not every business that requires your participation. Do you understand that? All right. The Lord is good. All right. Now, you're following what I'm trying to say? Okay. So, this is the point. So that means there is an economic land also that belongs to you. Now, I'm not going to go over that again. But I just want to continue from that particular point, all right? What I want to say today, I think I it's unusual, I kind of have a title for it. No, I don't have a title for it, but I can tell you what I want to say ahead of time. I want to talk about the, okay, yes, that's a good way. The breakthrough in the normal. Yes, that's a very nice way. Don't you think so? The breakthrough. You know, I talk about, in previous times, I talked about the simplicity of divine intervention. Now I'm talking about the breakthrough within that which is normal. Do you understand? Yeah. The breakthrough. Now, you'll see why I'm saying it in a moment. Now, so let's continue talking about what we must do outwardly, okay? That's what we're discussing. What we must do outwardly to bring down to earth the blessing which exists in the realm of the Spirit. Now, if you look at into that Genesis chapter 26, the Bible says in verse 12, it said, now Isaac sowed in that land. What did he say? I didn't hear you. And reaped 100-fold, all right, in the same year. Now, my emphasis for today is the fact that Isaac sowed in that land. Now, God didn't tell him he was going to reap 100-fold. Let me start from that. God didn't say to Isaac, you will reap 100-fold. Did he say that to him? He didn't say it anywhere. What just happened was that Isaac did that which was normal. God said to him simply, dwell in this land, don't go to the other place. Therefore, Isaac lived in that land. You will see, in verse 2, the Lord said to him, do not go down to Egypt. Stay in the land of which I shall tell you. Now, please, I want to ask you a question. Answer me like you are awake, you're not asleep. Did God say to him, sow in that land? No, look at it. Which Bible are you using? Look inside the Bible now. In verse 2, the Lord appeared to him and said, do not go down to Egypt, but do what? Live. What does your own version say? Sojourn. What does your own say? Dwell. Mine says? Stay. All right. So we are saying the same thing. One word that is conspicuously missing is the word so. God never said to him, sow in that land. He said, stay in that land. And then, that is now, notice that God didn't say sow. God didn't say, if you sow, I will give you 100-fold increase. He just said, stay in that land. What was God telling him in effect? If you are an adult, if you are in that land, you should do the business that is normal. Are you getting my point? Yeah, you are a farmer. That is what your profession is. If I say stay in that land, I didn't say stay in that land, cross your leg and be waiting for a miracle. Let me quickly say this. I'm getting to my message very fast, all right? That's why I close that, okay? Let me quickly say this. One of the greatest errors of life is people who hang around waiting for a miracle. Let me say it again. One of the greatest mistakes people make in life is hang around waiting for a financial miracle. Let me tell you the truth, it hardly happens. Those that God gives miracles to are those who are staying in the land and they do that which they are supposed to do in that land. Are you getting what I'm saying? Listen, you know, I told a story, a man I knew once. One day I asked, he was hanging around one of my relatives. I said, why don't you help this guy get a job? He said that the man said that the job does not pay much money. He's waiting for a breakthrough. And when he gets that breakthrough, the money will be plenty. All the days that I knew him, he never saw one iota of breakthrough. If there was anything breaking in his life, it was a breakdown he was experiencing. Are you getting the point I'm making? Listen, I need to emphasize this one today. That's what I want to teach. It said, Isaac sowed in that land. I said we're going to read something else. Quickly open to the book of Luke chapter 19. Let's read this. I'll connect the two of them. It said from verse, because of time, let me just quickly rush. You know, I came a bit late. Verse 12 says, a nobleman went to a distant, the Lord was speaking a parable. He said, a nobleman went to a distant country to receive a kingdom for himself and then return. And he called 10 of his slaves and gave them 10 minas and said to them, do business with this until I come back. But his citizens hated him and sent a delegation after him, saying, we do not want this man to rule over and all of that, all right? But verse 15, jump into that. When he returned after receiving the kingdom, he ordered that these slaves to whom he had given the money be called to him so that he might know what business they had done. The first appeared, saying, Master, your mina had made 10 minas more. And he said to him, well done, good slave. Because you have been faithful in a very little thing, you are to be in authority over 10 cities. You know the rest of the story, so as to save time, I am going to stop here. Now, let me read one more verse. Verse 20. And another came, saying, Master, here is your mina which I kept put away in a handkerchief. For I was afraid of you, because you are an exacting man. You take up what you did not lay down, and reap what you did not sow. And he said to him, by your own words I will judge you, and you know the rest of the story, of course. Let me just leave that one. Now notice this issue here. The man went out to go and receive a kingdom for himself. And like I say all the time, I've taught from this a number of times. His servants, his slaves that he gave money to, he said to them, do business with this money I have given you until I come back. What does it mean to do business? I like King James' expression here, King James English. To me, it's so perfect because from it, we have derived a lot of words in modern English, all right? King James says, what? Occupy. What did he say? Occupy. If you have a King James there, say amen.
Amen.
That's what you have there. I don't mean you have at home. All right, look in your Bible. What does he say?
Occupy.
He said what?
Occupy.
Now, there are two ways I read it. One, he said, occupy till I come. Or you can read the other way. Be occupied with this until I come. That is a way that's so beautiful to express it. He said, be occupied. Be busy with this thing until I come back. Don't be idle till I come back. Don't sit down and say, I'm waiting for when God will come down and break upon me with a mighty miracle. Be occupied with this until I come back. You read towards that verse 22, you will find out that the young man who had the problem, the slave that had the problem, was the one that was not occupied by the time the master came. I said something, I don't know what, last week or 2 weeks ago. I said, this is not about money. It is about righteousness. I'm adding one word to it again today, and that is that it is about what? Faithfulness. What did I call it?
Faithfulness.
It is about faithfulness. It is not about money. The mistake people make a lot of times as Christians, they think everything is about money. I remember once when I was serving, I served in the military, that's in Nigeria Army. And one day we were talking, I remember one young man who was also a youth corporal with me, and one of the soldiers there was talking about his experience in training, all right? He's an officer, a second lieutenant. So he had just been posted. So one of those days, of course, all young men just sitting down and just talking. So he was now telling us about their training, you know, military training. About the bombardments, how you will be running under, you know, live fire, not move you, you know. They are firing live ammunition, and you have to, you know, run below it. You throw live grenades and stuff like that. So he was describing all those things. And of course, naturally, it's quite intense, all right? And I remember the other fellow, as that man will say, we talk, he say, for how much? Oh, I'm happy you are laughing. Yeah, because it's very ridiculous. This guy is a soldier. He liked his uniform. He was proud of his small rank. He knew what he went through to get to that small rank. And he was just starting a career in life. And he's telling the training, and you're like, how much? For how much? That's how foolish people talk. Everything is judged in the light of how much. One day, I heard one man who was talking. He was saying that maybe he does 3 services. Talking to another pastor. Another pastor said, you preach 3 services on a Sunday? How much is your prophet's offering? You didn't hear what I said. Some of you are confused what they call prophet's offering. Some of you are Catholics. You've never heard that before. All right? The man was talking. He said, like, oh, we have to do 3 services because the church is growing. There's no space. So the other pastor was like, what? You preach 3 services on one Sunday? Hey, how much is the prophet's offering? That is, I hope it was misquoted, all right? It was a very, very silly thing for a man of God to say, all right? Now, but the point is that Everything is being judged in light of how much are we getting out of it. Let me say to you, that is not what Christianity is. The key word there is what? Be occupied. Be occupied. There's something I'm going to explain to you today. As I was meditating about it just before I came, something struck me. You see in the scriptures, they often describe a man by what he does. There are two things you find in the scriptures. Most of the time, when they're talking about one man, they will tell you what he does. They may tell you the son of who he is, but what he does. Including the fact that the man was a beggar. You know, the first time I heard this, now, this was many years ago. This was around 1994, thereabout. I don't know whether it's slightly before or after it. Maybe around 94, between 94 and 96, all right? I think so. I went for a meeting, special meeting organized by some people, and Archbishop Benson Idahosa came to preach. And he was reading from that story of blind Bartimaeus. And the way the man was described as that he was a beggar. And he said that this man was a beggar and he was known for being a beggar. And he made a statement I never forgot. He said, whatever you are doing in life, be known by it. Be known by it. It's one of the things I tell people. As a young man, as a young woman, you're talking about work. Before you start saying, I'm looking for work, ask yourself, what will it be that somebody wants done and he will remember me? General merchant is not a good business. You know, you register a company that covers everything. Importation, exportation of crude oil and refined products. Trading in needles and syringes. At the same time, you're a property developer, part-time preacher. Are you getting my point? You're a proprietor of a school. Listen, after a while, ask yourself, what is it that rings a bell about me in the mind of somebody else? Do you get the point I'm making? Archbishop said it that time. He said, listen, whatever you are doing, be known by it. This is the way I want to explain it. In life, make sure you are known by something. The mistake people make is that they don't realize. Now, I'm teaching Christians, all right? I'm not talking to unbelievers. I'm not talking to confused people who think that they were given life to compete with their cousins and who will build the house first. You understand? I'm not talking to those who are so confused, they think their life is about showing up to somebody else who built a house in the village first. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking to those people. I'm talking about people who are children of God who realize that they were born for a purpose. I hope you're following what I'm saying. And to those people, you know, the Bible talks about a good name. A good name. What's a name? He said, a good name is better than silver and gold. What is a good name? That is a reputation. You get my point? What I am known for, when people make a sound, my picture comes to their mind that a good name is better than having plenty of money. One of the things that alarms me about our country till today is that you still have rich men, people can't describe what they do. Just think about it for a moment. There are many rich people you know. You don't know what they do. Some of them are maybe currently ministers, they're currently governors, whatever it is. But the first time you heard their name, you only knew they were rich. But there was no name, professionally now, tied to what they were doing. Listen, one assignment I'm going to give you, we said the year of fruitfulness. For the next few weeks, in case you don't have it yet, start meditating about it. What is my professional reputation? That is, if I'm passing, what will people point and say, this is what this man does? You don't have that yet, you have a problem to solve. Now, before you start pursuing money, the first thing you should pursue is what? A professional reputation, that is a name. Let me put it like this, a professional name. What is a professional name? What is it that I do that comes to somebody's mind, all right? And he needs something, he remembers me. You know, the mistake people make, and that's what I'm trying to teach. We're talking about God bringing forth a blessing into our lives. Is that all right? All right, we are already blessed. If you believe that, say amen. That the Bible, God says that he's making all grace abound towards you so that you having all sufficiency in all things, we are bound to every good work. If you believe that, say amen. If you believe it, say amen. All right. What we are saying again is that, don't forget, there must be a connection built on the earth through which God's blessings in the realm of the spirit will come into reality. That's what I'm saying. And I'm explaining this today, that the mistake people make is that they hang around waiting for a breakthrough. And that was why we read from that Luke chapter 19, that is not what it's supposed to be. Be occupied until I come. And that's what I'm talking about, the occupation. Listen, God doesn't bring special breakthroughs into the hands of idle people. Let me say it again. God does not bring special breakthroughs into the hands of idle people. I noticed that Jesus didn't even call those who were busy doing nothing. If you go and meet a man that is fishing, he will borrow his boat. He will discuss with the man. The man will interrupt fishing. You are getting my point? And then after that, he will give him a miracle. And then he say, come and follow me. Like I said, even a tax collector that was not a popular man in the matters of righteousness in the scriptures. I hope you know, when God wanted to call Matthew, he too was busy collecting tax. He was busy collecting tax. Everybody has something they were doing. Because God, when he returns, that's what we're talking about. You know, he said, occupy till I come. When he comes back to meet those who are occupied. God never said to Isaac, I will give you a 100-fold blessing. He didn't say to Isaac. That's why we read that portion again and again. He said, dwell in the land. Dwell in the land. And I like the way he said it in Psalm 37. He said, dwell in that land and cultivate faithfulness. That's why I said that first we talked about the matter of righteousness. And today I'm talking about the matter of faithfulness. That story I was telling you, that young boy kept on saying, for how much? For how much? This man is talking with pride. He's a commissioned officer in the Nigerian army. You're asking him for how much? You take a million, walk to the market and buy that uniform, whether you won't go to jail. Do you get my point? Okay, let's assume, no, your father is too rich. What's a millionaire? He's a billion. Walk to the market, try use a billion naira to buy the commissioning. It does not work like that. It doesn't work. This man was proud of his commissioning. He had only one little star there, but he was happy to show it. Starched his uniform, green uniform very well, and marched a lieutenant in the Nigerian army. And you're asking him for how much? Let me say it in summary, you are entirely stupid. Yes, that fellow was entirely stupid. And I remember that day I was embarrassed for him. I was trying to pinch him, like, shut up your mouth. The Bible says even a fool, when he keeps quiet, is considered wise. I remember that I was embarrassed for him. I was trying to just keep quiet. This man was displaying his pride. He is not a commissioned officer. I'm saying something again to you today. Be proud of that which you do. Do it to the level of pride. It is in the midst of that activity that God brings breakthroughs. It is in the midst of that activity, I noticed, those who go out in life looking for breakthrough, they don't get it. They don't get it. They live every day frustrated. Because at the end of the day, they said, today is the day of breakthrough. You know, oh my God, God has sent everybody for different assignments. There are those that God said, go and collect their special offerings for me. Make them poorer than they were at the beginning. Because a man will wake up and say, this is my year of breakthrough. You will sow a seed towards that breakthrough. He's looking for that breakthrough vehemently. Go and see. Forget the few stories you hear here and there. Those who really break through were not looking for it. Those who really break through, in that sense, you know the way they describe it, they were not looking for it. Like that story we read in the book of Luke chapter 19, they were not even aware that the master was using that money to prepare them for an office that he would make them occupy. They were not aware of it. All they just knew was that the master said, take this money and be busy until I come. Take this skill that I have given you and be busy with this skill until I come. I was saying to you earlier, now let me continue from that particular point. Then I heard Archbishop Idahosa. He said, whatever you are doing in life, he said, be known by it. These are people who use titles. Listen, there's a difference between titles of pride. Are you getting my point? And a title that just tells people what you do. Listen, I think now, I'm not talking physically now, but in your mind, I think you should start printing a business card in your mind. As I'm talking now, print your own business card and ask yourself, what will I write on it? One of the things, you know, you should try and remove from your mind is this idea of, I'm looking for a job. The question somebody will ask you is that, what do you do? If you come to me and say, I'm looking for a job, I will ask you, what do you do? When you say, what do I mean by what do you do? I'm not saying, what did you study in school? There's a world of difference. You know the reason why you go to school? Should I tell you? The primary reason is to get educated. So somebody comes to you and says, what do you do? You say, I'm educated. That's a very, very funny answer. What do you do? I'm educated. Listen, I'm talking to believers. You must understand that this is the way by which God will bless you in life. If you want to summarize everything I'm going to say to you today, ask yourself, by the time you leave here, what's my professional name? Forget the word professional. I'm not trying to give you a big title. It's simple. Just describe what you do for people. Ask yourself, people will sit in their homes. What problem would they be discussing? And my name will come to their mind. You say, okay, but I'm still too young for that. Fine. But at least you already have it in mind. So you are building your life according to that pattern. Listen, I need to emphasize this. It is not about money. It is number one about righteousness. What is righteousness? I discussed earlier. Describing God's order of doing things. That's righteousness. Then number two, I'm bringing up the issue of faithfulness. That God is saying to you, this is how I break through upon people. You know, I started by talking about the breakthrough in the midst of normal. There was a way I coined it now, I forgot it. What was it that I said then? In the normal, yes. That is, I'm not going to explain the fact that, listen, it is time for you to stop laboring for break. You see, nobody can find, you cannot by yourself determine when the Lord will come. He said, occupy with this until I come. And the day of the return of the Lord, no man knows. Nobody knows when he's going to show. Nobody knows. All we know is that one day he will come. And I'm saying to you again, not just about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, but concerning breakthrough in your life, one day he will come. What did I say? I didn't hear you well. Concerning your life, let me say it again. One day he will come. And let me say this to you. Don't bother waiting outside for, when is he coming? Is he coming? It's a sign of idleness. It's a sign of joblessness. He doesn't come to people who are peeping to check when he's going to come. Many times people settle down in Christianity and start analyzing when is Jesus coming. What are the signs of his coming? They start analyzing, is it 2000 and... There was one that happened recently. Is it last year? They keep different things come up. You know why it doesn't bother me? And let me say it to you again. Why it doesn't bother me is because it won't change what I do. If we heard that the Lord, that is authentic gist, somebody left heaven and said, I'm not supposed to tell you, but because you're my friend. I heard the Lord saying to my Lord, it is time to go back to the earth because I have made thy enemies thy footstool for thy feet. He's coming. And by the time I calculated the distance between there and here, and when he was mustering all the angels to get ready, oh boy, he'll be here on Monday morning. And you're telling me this by 3 o'clock on Saturday. Listen, I will still walk up here and say to everybody, let us continue our discussion on the season of fruitfulness. Today, I want us to read from the book of Genesis chapter 26. I'm telling you, listen, I will not read any chapter of Revelation just because some people now showed up and gave me insights of when he's coming. I have found out that he does not come to those who are physically standing still and claiming to be waiting for him. Read our last magazine. I quoted something I've said again here and there. I said, waiting in the life of a Christian is active. Christians don't sit down to wait. They are busy while they wait. You are waiting for Isaac for 25 years. Why it is difficult is because all you are doing is waking up in the morning, painting pictures of Isaac. Anytime you see one little boy, you photograph him and put it on the wall. Isaac will come. You are busy checking. You say, hey, your wife has to conceive first. You go and buy a calendar and start marking safe period, unsafe period for the coming of Isaac. You say, eat carrot, eat plenty of carrots so that Isaac can come on time. You wake up in the morning, you are chewing carrot. Go and read it. I don't think Abraham did that. Abraham, while waiting for Isaac, he became stupendously rich. I don't know whether you're getting my point. Yes. While waiting for 25 years old. 25 years in Abraham's life, I believe he passed relatively quickly. Because during that period, listen, when he left his father's house, he was alone, essentially. Him, you know, a few people. By the time Isaac was going to get married, that's when Isaac finally came. In fact, forget Isaac first. When he was going to rescue Lot, he mustered an army from inside his household. Just like Isaac that came after him. Isaac had control of a great household. The man was busy doing his business. It's not like, everybody, let us worship. Isaac will come. We know he will come. Worship the Lord for Isaac. Oh, Shabbat Mamala, Isaac. Isaac, 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 come, 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 come. Isaac is coming, coming, coming. This morning we are beginning a series on the coming of Isaac. Next morning we'll do a series on waiting for Isaac. The following month we start on unwrapping the gift of Isaac. Listen, the days of the coming of Isaac will keep on getting more difficult. The Bible says that hope that is deferred makes the heart sick. The heart faints. Therefore, what is a man supposed to do? It is simple. You said, say, Isaac, you will come. When you are going to arrive, we'll be waiting for you. Meanwhile, we have to go to the farm. Meanwhile, we have to get richer. Meanwhile, we have to train this household that is getting bigger. I believe on a daily basis, Abraham had what he had to do. For that reason, in fact, you know, the day Isaac finally, the year before Isaac came, he was busy entertaining strangers. And that was how he met the Lord, who finally said to him, by this time next year, I will visit you and your wife will indeed bear a son. Listen, I've seen it many times. People are waiting for breakthrough. I said, okay, right, you're going to have breakthrough. So what are you doing right now? Nothing. Don't worry, it will come. I'm sure it will not come. Forget all of that. I know it won't come. You now find me one obscure story that was not told properly. You know, there are stories that are not well told. They were given just to confuse people. Listen, in fact, I think I'll finish my message today. I can close and go home. Though I don't plan to do that, but I can. I can. Yes, that's essentially what I want to say to you today. That listen, though, Isaac, God did not say to him, sow in that land. He just said to him, dwell in that land. There are things that are natural. Listen to me. He said, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest shall not cease. I'm preaching to you today that there must be something that is normal when it comes to occupation in your life. There must be. And it's not primarily about money. It's primarily about faithfulness. That this is what I'm doing. Let it be known that I do it well. I was saying to my wife, when a few people were talking about this over the last few weeks, there's one young man, you know, something happened with him, and I said, look, this guy's making one mistake. He doesn't realize that gifts don't make people. I said, gifts don't make people. That is being faithful, being dependable. Those are the things that make people. It is not the man that's most gifted that God lifts. It's the man that's most faithful. And that's why I said, dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. In the midst of that, your daily duty, what are you doing? You are cultivating faithfulness. That's what it is. You are cultivating faithfulness. Listen, some things, I said earlier, a good name, the Bible says it is better than money. A good name is better than silver and gold. And when the Bible says it is better, better believe that it is better. What does that mean? It is important that in your business, when people talk about you, it's a good thing they have to say about you. Don't worry about that fellow. He will not cheat you. Don't worry about that fellow. If he says it like this, that's just the way it is. That's what's called a good name. Even when it means that sometimes you will lose money. Even when it means that sometimes you will lose money. The Bible says it is better for you to lose money than to lose a good name. Do you get the point I'm making? That is what is important. It is not waiting every day for breakthrough. Listen, I was saying to you earlier, I'm looking for work. I've been looking for the last 2 years. If you have been looking for work for the last 2 years, and I ask you, tell me what you have done in the last 2 years, you can't tell me. I'll tell you the reason why you have not found work in the last 2 years. Because you don't want to work. Yes, you don't want to walk. What did I say? The fellow doesn't want to walk. Why? Because I don't. Listen, what's a job? A job is the opportunity that God gives you to use your gift to be a blessing to somebody else. There's no reason on earth you enjoy being totally idle. Breakthrough does not come to people who don't have a routine of walking. Just sit down cross-legged, you are moping. So what I look, I'm waiting for when the Lord will come. A breakthrough, a miracle. My brother, my sister, get up in the morning, go and volunteer to work for somebody free of charge. Yes. Go and volunteer to work for somebody free of charge. Why? Because you must be occupied until he comes. One of the mistakes people make, they think, I was just narrating somebody earlier on today about a man who, he heard me preaching on God wants you to prosper. And he says that Christians who want to walk, they'll be saying God wants them to prosper. I feel like telling him, if God doesn't want me to prosper, why am I walking? Are you getting my point? Yes, I have to know it, that God wants me to prosper. For me to get up and be doing what I am doing. It is important I know it. I have to know it first. But why people like that talk like that is that they think that what Christians say, that I say God wants to prosper, it means I will sit down, cross my leg, and be waiting for the prosperity to rain from heaven. No. That's what I'm preaching today. No. 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 There is a routine of productivity that your life must have so that God's miracle will come upon you at the appropriate time. There's a book, I've told the story again and again. It's not a Christian book, just that, like I say, when we look into anything on the earth, if it illustrates the working of God, spiritual principles, I tell the story just to use it to highlight those spiritual principles. If you ever saw this book, in fact, if you haven't read it, go and read it. It's a very nice book. It's not a Christian book, but it's a nice book, okay? You learn some things from it. That is The Richest Man in Babylon. All right? If you've read it before, say amen.
Amen.
Ah, everybody here has read it. Anyway, it's a book that has been around for quite a while, all right? Let me just say this again. That was the last message I preached last year about the sequence of blessings, all right? People want to take, like, this is what I'm saying now, that you must have something you are doing, and you go and preach to a man who is not blessed. Whatever it is that is doing wears him out and he dies. I don't know whether you're getting my point. I'm preaching to those who are blessed. Some of those principles that you read here and there, they may in themselves, they don't work for people who don't have something that God is trying to pour into their lives. All right? It's like you go and construct pipe, plenty of pipe. There's no reservoir at the other end. Let's get it right. We are blessed people. We are just building the physical structure. All right? The body for the seed. The seed is spiritual. God wants to pour a blessing into our lives. Anyway, in that book, there's some story there that really strikes me. The man who was narrating most of that, there were a compilation of different things. Now, the man who was telling most of the story, there was something that he said. He was a rich man. He was the richest man in Babylon that they were talking about. But one thing I noticed in there is the fact that he did not make his money in one generation. What I want to bring out is the fact that greatness was thrust upon him by a man who was rich before him. Why? Simply because he encountered this young man and found that the young man, now don't forget, he was working in a public library. He was helping people copy things and all of that. Something like that. That was where that old man came and met him for the first time. The young man was diligent. And then next, he said to the man, how do I become rich? And the man began to teach him those principles that is very popular these days. Save this portion of whatever you earn. Let your savings bring forth more offspring for you. And then he gave his money to the man who was going to the Phoenicians to go and buy something. And he lost money. That's another lesson. And he was teaching all of those things. And this young man kept on learning. That's the point. He kept on learning. He kept on learning. He kept on learning. And when that old man saw the progress he was making in learning, he said, why don't you come and work for me? And I'll give you a very good wage. And he went and worked for the man. And then when the man was going to die, he left most of his estate to this young man in that the young man had proved faithful in handling what was given to him. He that was faithful in little was now able to show that faithfulness in much. It is interesting that many people are waiting for God to give them much. They cannot demonstrate that they have been faithful in little in any way. God will not break his rules because you give an offering. Let me say it to us again. I know today's Pentecostals are very funny people. They believe that God is broke. that God is a poor man. You know, poor man wants to give him money. He gets confused. Let me just, in case you do not know, God doesn't get confused.